The verse for tonight's meditation is the fourth verse from Psalm 41. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, we're going to reflect on this fourth verse, but we also need to learn a theological word so that we can learn how to handle verses like verse 4. And that word is imputed. The word imputed, when understood rightly and applied to the scriptures, brings us peace and joy in Christ. Imputed. Now we can easily imagine David as the writer of this psalm. Be gracious to me, O Lord, heal me, for I've sinned. Even from our reading from 2 Samuel, we know that David lusted. We know the story of David and Bathsheba. This is the outcome of their breaking of the sixth commandment willingly, and even David planning it. The child died. David lusted, he worried, he lied, and eventually we are told that David lost his faith in committing adultery and murder. So it makes sense that David would say something, heal me, Lord, for I've sinned against you. We've also heard, and as we've gone through Psalm 41, we've seen how these verses can apply to us as well. Any of us are certainly prone to the sins that bothered David, that he fell to in a time of weakness. You and I are no different. We do pray that we don't continue in sin and lose our faith like David did before the Holy Spirit brought him back. But finally, remember where these verses, the Psalm 41, we look at how it applies to David, we look how it applies to us, and then finally we say, well, what does this teach us about Jesus? We can see how Jesus himself endures and experiences all the same sufferings in this life that you and I do. In fact, Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. But the verse has an interesting ending to it. It says, but he did all this without sin. So how can we say today in verse 4 that it's experienced by David, real life, it's experienced by us, and now how can we say verse 4, heal me for I have sinned? Can Jesus say that? Well, just like last week, when we know Jesus was never sick, his voice was never afflicted by allergies or coughs like mine has been. Yet Isaiah says he bore all our illnesses. He carried our sicknesses, all our disease. We heard that last week. And we remember the painting that showed Jesus as someone suffering from terrible disease. So it is somewhat of a paradox to say Jesus carried our sickness and our illness because he was never sick. Yet that's what God's word promises to us. So today with our verse, what do we make of this where the person speaking, maybe Jesus, can Jesus say, heal me for I have sinned against you? Now the word imputed, as I said, is what helps us understand this verse. The word imputed means credited to or applied to, put on your account. The scriptures teach us this word imputed as early as Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It says, Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him or imputed to him as righteousness. Abraham was righteous before God, not because he had done anything righteous, but Abraham was righteous before God because he believed God's promise of salvation. And God credited that, the righteousness of God, to him. By faith, Abraham was righteous. Now, of course, this is the case for us too. We are credited with the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. Psalm 32:2 says, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord imputes no iniquity." Imputed is when you're credited with something that you haven't done or don't have. So the word imputed is what helps us today to make sense of this psalm verse about how it can be about Jesus. Could Jesus say, "Be gracious to me, I have sinned"? Well, absolutely he can, because while Jesus committed no sins, the scriptures make it clear that our sin is imputed to him. Our sin is put on him. He is credited with all the sin that the world has committed. We've done nothing righteous, right? We hear, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we would be the righteousness of God." That's imputed, that's imputation. That he who knew no sin was imputed with sin. We, who all we do know is sin, are imputed with the righteousness of Christ. And we did nothing righteous to earn this, like Abraham. We can't turn in some sort of proof of our good works to God that would earn us righteousness. Isaiah 64 says, "Even our good works are like filthy rags before God." This is why the psalm begins with, "Be merciful to me." This is why it begins this way. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. We don't deserve his righteousness, but he gives it of his own desire. Paul says in Romans 5 that the sin of Adam is imputed to all humans. "Many died through one man's trespass," he says. Then again, "Because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man." And finally, "One trespass has led to the condemnation of all men." This is Paul's point. The sin of Adam is imputed to all of us because we're human. The amazing thing is that Jesus, who had no sin, he allowed the sins of the world to be imputed to him. Isaiah 53, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The doctrine taught to us by the word imputed is in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Without it, none of the scriptures make sense, much less just verse 4 of our psalm. God uses his power, he uses his authority to become flesh, so that he may be able to say, "The sins of the world are imputed to me. I voluntarily credit to my account sin and death. Your greed, your anxiety, your unrighteous anger." We try so hard to avoid our sin. Sweep it away, put it back, don't think about it. We try so hard to avoid confession of our sins. Most often, we so often try to avoid when we sin against one another. We do all we can to not bring up the sin. Let's just act as if nothing happened and it will be okay. When we've hurt someone or we have a grievance against someone, we don't want to bring it up because we don't believe in the imputed righteousness of Christ. We think our sins are still going to condemn us. That's why we're so afraid of it. And Jesus, consider the wonderful beauty of God's love for you. He can't wait to be born to scoop up all your sins and say, "This is all mine. All your sins. I see them all. I know them all. They're mine. Impute them to me." Jesus says, "It's all mine." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, takes our sin, takes our death, and all that separates us from God and one another, forgiven. Paul speaks of this imputation also in Titus, and he connects it with baptism. He says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, we didn't earn it, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, that's how he has saved you. Your salvation comes from outside of you. The righteousness of God is imputed to your account. It is received by faith. The imputed righteousness of Christ, it's not something we can prove. It's not something we can cut open our heart and say, oh yes, this person was a Christian. No, it is a matter of faith. It has to be accepted by faith. So too, the imputation of our sins on Christ also must be received by faith. So when we know the word imputed and its purpose in the scriptures, then Psalm 41 verse 4 is no problem at all. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Jesus Christ was willing to say that in your place so that your heavenly Father could say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Maybe you're like the prodigal son who wandered away and expects to earn your place back in the house. God says, no, don't you remember Pastor Otmer's sermon about imputation? And you say, oh yeah, how could I have forgotten that? You don't earn your way into the family. The righteousness of God is imputed to you because your sin was imputed to Christ. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our faith is fed by this verse. Because it seems impossible. How could Jesus say that I have sinned? But this agrees with the rest of Scripture. And the only way it can make sense is by faith. It's something David can say, you can say, I can say this verse, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. Heal me, be gracious, heal me, for I have sinned against you. But also when one ascends to a higher understanding of this text, when one by faith ascends, this passage is not mere breadcrumbs, but it is a glorious picture of the reality that Christ calls your sins his own. On the cross, the whole world was drawn to Christ in the sense that he gathers all men's sins to himself. On the cross, our sins were imputed to him. So now you can be certain that God will not hold you accountable for your sins. You have nothing to fear. You have a heavenly Father who's there waiting, bringing you in, forgiving you, placing the ring on your finger, and telling you and reminding you, don't you remember my son, Jesus? So the next part of this verse, was God gracious to Jesus? Absolutely. God did not leave his son in the grave, but raised him to show that Jesus is truly divine. He can die for your sins. No man can die for the sins of another. For as in Adam all die, Paul says to the Corinthians, so also in Christ will all be made alive. So when we know the biblical doctrine of imputation, we can indeed now see how this psalm teaches us about Jesus. It teaches you where your sins are, where your sins have been dealt with. The imputation of your sins to Christ and the righteousness of Christ imputed to you in the waters of baptism. And now, that imputation, it shows forth in fruit of the good works of that imputation. Now, we live that imputation out as branches attached to the vine. Since Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you, Christ promises, oh, you're going to do so many good works, you don't even see them. But I live in you and I will work through you. Let us pray that like David, we may be led to repent of our sins and have the right spirit renewed in us. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.